Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Claire Wiley. And joining me now is Anand Varma, who is a National Geographic explorer and photographer, and is going to be speaking tonight, in fact, at the Natural History Museum in Utah. And we are so excited to have him with us here today on This Green Earth. Anand, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, I am really thrilled to be talking with you. You have such a unique way of exploring the natural world and bringing it to all of us. And that skill set, I think, is really interesting because it seems you've merged two paths to get to this place where you are between biology and photography. And it is this beautiful mix that allows for you to communicate in this beautiful way. So how did you turn science into this also creative field?
Sure. Yeah. So I think it was really the science that came first. As a kid growing up in Atlanta, Georgia, I had access to woods and a stream behind my house. And I just fell in love with exploring my backyard and looking for little critters in the stream and under rocks. And I really assumed that I had to become a scientist in order to continue exploring nature. And I went through school up until college, planning on studying biology and becoming a professor, becoming a professional scientist. It really wasn't until end of high school that I even picked up a camera for the first time at all.
Oh, wow. So when did it click for you that these two worlds could come together as one to be a great way to communicate science?
It happened in a couple of stages. So I think the first picture I took that stuck with me was this picture of a garter snake I took in my senior year of high school. And so I had just picked up my dad's old point and shoot camera. I don't know what inspired me to do it. It was just kind of a whim. It was sitting on the dining room table. I picked it up on my way out the door to meet my friends. And we were hiking around the woods outside of Atlanta, and I came across this snake, and I snuck up on it, and I got this close-up photo. And the photo itself wasn't spectacular. It was not like this incredible capture, but it was really the reaction of my best friend, Gene, who like looked at the picture, and he was so excited about all of the details that I had been able to capture. It was the first time I realized that photography could be this way of connecting people and of sharing a sense of discovery and wonder. And I think that was the first taste of the power photography can have to, you know, share an exploration of nature. And so that's kind of how I used it in my early years in college. It was like, how can I capture what I'm seeing out in nature so I can show it to my friends back home? And that led to an opportunity to work for a professional photographer, a National Geographic photographer, David Lichwater, midway through my time as an undergraduate student at UC Berkeley.
So you were able to shadow or have him mentor you? How did that relationship start?
It started by a connection with my professor. So my professor saw me with my camera photographing creatures on our field trips. He said, you know what? I know this photographer who needs an assistant. You seem interested in photography. He connected us. And David, at the time, he just needed someone to carry his backpack. He needed someone to help him carry his gear. And so that first job involved rappelling into caves in Sequoia National Park in Southern California. And like helping the scientist find bugs for David to photograph. And immediately I just thought, wait, this is what I wanted to do as a scientist. I wanted to go explore cool new places in the world and see creatures I'd never seen before. And so as David's assistant, I stuck with him for another 7 years. We worked on maybe a dozen stories for National Geographic together. And I got to see how photography could be this tool for communicating science. And I learned a ton just essentially shadowing David as his assistant, packing the bags, collecting specimens for him to photograph, helping him edit photos. That was my first exposure into the world of professional photography, and that showed me the possibilities of a career in photography.
Well, that is pretty amazing that your first connection is with this prolific photographer who is going down this path that also seems like such a good place for you to be. Your photographs are so intricate and detailed about life cycles and different parts of the creatures that inhabit our natural world. Tell me some of the projects that you've worked on that have really led you to understand more about the biology and existence of certain species in our world.
Sure. I mean, the first story I pitched to National Geographic was honestly the one that taught me the most. It was a story about parasites that can control the minds of their hosts. So I studied biology at a university level, and I thought I kind of had a grasp of how the natural world operates. Like, what are the rules? What are the patterns? What are the processes? But when I started learning about these parasites, it really turned my understanding of the world upside down. So you have a barnacle that can parasitize a crab and change all the males into females. You have a wasp that can hijack the mind of a spider and get the spider to build a special web for the wasp. You have worms that can control the minds of crickets and force them to drown themselves. I just thought, how a fungus that can control an ant? I'm like, how can a fungus that has no brain control the behavior of an animal that does have a brain? Like, there's a level of complexity there that I, frankly, having spent years studying this and photographing this, it still kind of breaks my brain. Like, how does that work? So that was some of the most fun and rewarding projects to work on, because it just shows you how many more secrets the world has left to share, how much more we have yet to learn. It's so exciting, honestly, to be confronted with these questions that we don't know how to answer. And it just shows us we could spend a lifetime pondering the mysteries of the universe.
It is mind-blowing what's happening out there. What do you want people to gain and gather when they look at your photographs and hear you speak?
So one of the most rewarding bits of feedback I've gotten in my career was actually from that parasite story. When it was published on the cover of National Geographic, I got messages from readers that said, "I used to think bugs were gross, but now I think they're cool." And that was so exciting for me to hear, because I had honestly, at that point in my career, I was so focused on just impressing the editors and establishing my career. I hadn't really thought about what impact my images could have on the world. And then all of a sudden, I'm realizing, like, I can change how people think about science and how they feel about nature through my images. And so that's really my goal, is to get people to revisit some of the assumptions they have about what's interesting, what's worth caring about, what's important on our planet. I think we can often get sucked into our sort of narrow worlds and getting through our day-to-day responsibilities, and we sort of have to be in survival mode, and that doesn't leave us with a whole lot of bandwidth to check our assumptions about how we're moving through the world and check our assumptions about what we're caring about and what we're paying attention to even. And so what I hope my photography does is inspire people to slow down and say, you know what, maybe I'm missing something that's right in front of me. Maybe I need to stop and pay a little bit closer attention in case there's something right in front of me that deserves more of my time and thought.
Yeah, I think it is a beautiful way to engage people and to get people to care about the natural world, because when we do get engaged, we seem to not only care more, but sometimes act in a favorable way for what's happening around us. And we also just spoke to someone about bees and how interesting their worlds can be and the different species that we actually have here in Utah. And you did a life cycle of a bee, which I think is really interesting. Tell me about that project and what was special about that.
Sure. So I National Geographic asked me to photograph a story about honeybees. And really this my job was to go out and meet with scientists and photograph their work, but I wanted to get to know bees a bit better myself. And so I learned how to keep bees in my backyard. I actually kept an observation hive in my garage. And in doing that, I could watch the bees inside the hive. And it struck me that, you know what, the baby bees don't look anything at all like the adults. And yet this transformation is happening right in front of me. I wonder if I can devise a way to capture this life cycle transformation with a camera. And I honestly didn't even tell National Geographic that I was going to try this because I didn't think it was going to work. And so I sort of did it in secret. And when it worked, I shared it. And National Geographic published this video of the first 21 days of a bee's life. And what was really exciting about that is when it came out, scientists wrote to me and said, "Hey, you know what? We learned new things about bee behavior, even though we've been studying this for decades." And that was the first time I realized, like, actually, my photography can contribute new information to science. I'm not just documenting the discoveries of others. I'm becoming a scientist myself by trying to capture new processes and new behaviors in the natural world.
In such an intricate way, too. Actually, up on my computer right now is that video of the jellyfish.
Yeah, so the jellyfish project was definitely inspired by the honeybee project. And so jellyfish was another example where I remember seeing a diagram of their life cycle in my biology textbook. And their life cycle is wild. The drawing made no sense to me. And so I wanted to investigate it with photography. And I spent, in the end, 4 years learning how to breed jellyfish in that same garage and film their life cycle. And they start out attached to a surface, kind of like a little anemone, and then they clone themselves in order to become their free living Medusa state. And so that was another way that photography could help me understand and capture and communicate a really wild process of metamorphosis. And that's really what my work today often revolves around. Like, how can I use photography to show how the complexity of life takes shape? I'm working on a long-term project on chicken embryos right now, trying to show how eggs turn into chickens by spying inside the shell. And I have projects about butterflies coming up now, and just trying to think through how can photography help us understand the natural world in new ways.
Yeah, the photography is absolutely stunning, and it is pulls you in such a powerful way. You have graduated though from your garage, and you have something called the Wonder Lab. Can you share with me what the Wonder Lab is all about?
Sure. So Wonder Lab came from my experience filming jellyfish in my garage over COVID, actually. And it finally occurred to me that, you know what, I don't have to pack my bags and fly all over the world to tell stories about science with my camera. I can do that right here in my home in Berkeley. If I just had more space and more resources, I could tackle really complicated and interesting photography problems from a lab setting. And in addition to that, what that lets me do is it lets me collaborate with scientists and it lets me invite school groups and early career scientists and photographers to join me in my work. And so what Wonder Lab is a it's a hybrid between a biology lab, a photography studio, and a classroom.
It's fantastic, and I think that bringing this to people in a real way where you can get your hands on, you can understand it better, is super intriguing. But you're also traveling around and speaking to different groups, and you're going to be with us this evening at the Natural History Museum of Utah. What are some of the things that you generally share overall in these talks that really help people get intrigued or involved in this science?
Yeah, so in my lectures, I share the science stories that I've photographed for National Geographic, and I show some of the projects that we've been talking about today. So that ranges from mind controlling parasites to honeybees. I include a chapter on hummingbird biomechanics, so how their bodies move, jellyfish, and then my latest work on chicken embryos at Wonder Lab as well.
I keep looking through these photos that you have. What kind of equipment are you using to get right into the tiniest of little details in these animals? You know, like the jellyfish, it's just so intricate. So what are you using to be able to tell that story?
Sure. I mean, the cameras and lenses are all fairly straightforward, off-the-shelf equipment. It's the lighting that I'm often designing from scratch and building custom lights. I have to build custom enclosures. So we created our own jellyfish aquariums that were customized for filming. Oftentimes, for my chicken embryo project, we're designing custom incubators that allow us to take time lapses of the developing embryos. So we have to do a lot of engineering to be able to get at photographing science in new ways. And so oftentimes the camera is really only on less than 1% of the time. The rest of the time it's the table saws and drill presses and soldering irons and 3D printers trying to iterate on habitats that the creatures need, as well as the lighting components and lighting modifiers that we need to capture those intricate details.
So, if someone were to want to learn more about you or the Wonder Lab, where would they go?
Yeah, we have a website that shares some general information. That's at natgeo.org/wonderlab. You can see more of my past projects on my personal website. That's varmaphoto.com. One of the best ways to learn more about my story and the origin of Wonder Lab is actually a documentary on Disney Plus and Hulu called Photographer. And I'm the second episode in that series. It's called Anand Varma, Hidden Wonders. And you'll see kind of my whole path as a photographer right up until founding Wonder Lab.
Well, we are so glad that you picked up that camera and that you had an opportunity to shadow a Nat Geo photographer because what you're bringing to us today is really phenomenal. So we appreciate you, Anand Varma. Thank you so much for being with us here on this green earth. And we hope to talk to you again with your next project with these chicken embryos. That sounds super fascinating. So hopefully you'll come back and speak to us about that.
I'd be happy to. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to This Green Earth. If you have an idea, we'd love to hear from you. Give us your ideas and topics, your storylines. It's thisgreenearth@kpcw.org. You can also find us wherever you listen to your podcast. If you like the show and you learned something new, make sure you leave a review. And we'd appreciate it if you click 5 stars.